uniforms are, well, uniform. Sameness is the point. They're meant to submerge all of the ordinarily varying human factors of appearance and personality so that you just see the uniform. You don't see the person, but the police officer, the soldier, priest or postal worker, the bride, chef, pilot, or basketball player. Yet uniforms themselves convey a kind of personality, the appealing simplicity of the Franciscan cloak, the reassuring purity of a nurse's white, the rumpled daring of a rollerblader. Paul Fussell, the National Book Award-winning literary critic and author, has written a new book about what uniforms say about us and what they just say. His book is Uniforms, Why We Are, What We Wear. Professor Fussell joins us now from the studios of WHYY in Philadelphia. Professor, thanks for being with us.
Hello. Happy to be here.
You wearing a tweed jacket with leather elbow patches?
Not today because it's too cold for that uniform. What I'm wearing is something like it. It's the professorial costume when the professor is on vacation. Hmm. I'm wearing an Australian pullover, yeah, sweater, mm-hmm, thick trousers, and Rockport shoes, which I find have a nice grip on icy pavements. Somebody looking at me would classify me as a superannuated retiree.
Well, I'm fascinated in the book by the time you spend devoted to official uniforms, some of which,
yes,
we detailed, certainly military uniforms, priestly uniforms, and then, of course, the unofficial uniforms that we find ourselves almost unconsciously donning.
Yeah, those are the most fun because you can astonish people by telling them, proud as they may be of their personalities and their uniqueness, it is impossible to escape uniform identity in some way. Somebody's like you. In fact, millions are like you. Mm-hmm. And they are going around programmatically pleading innocence and originality when actually they're aping somebody else or a group of people.
Let's talk about military uniforms. Shoulders count, don't they?
Indeed, they do. Because everybody knows they are a secondary sexual characteristic of males. Like, ideally, narrow waists and absence of protrusive buttocks. A soldier is supposed to be brave, and if you put on an enlisted man's uniform, you are expected to be able to follow orders which will make you braver than you are ordinarily. So in the services, uniforms are indispensable for that. There has to be group pride.
You write about some of the generals, and high-ranking generals can and do design their own uniforms.
Yes. Someone like General Patton is a fine example. He, being a boy who never grew up, really, mm-hmm, he was the most conspicuous of American generals, at least of the Second World War, in designing his own costume, I mean uniform. It wasn't really a uniform because to have a uniform, you have to have many people wearing the same thing.
And you have the most extraordinary quote from Patton. You say that Patton said that he designed a uniform to convey a confidence in his appearance that he didn't always feel inside.
Absolutely true. And perhaps that is not as silly as it sounds, because if you dress in a certain way, and you know you have an audience, even if you're just walking down the street, you tend to change your character instinctively. And if you dress like a businessman, you will act like a businessman. And if you dress like a yachtsman, you will tend to act that way, mm-hmm, and so forth.
I want to follow up on some uniforms, if I could. How is it that so many navies in the world settled on what is now identified as navy blue, a very dark blue is their color?
Well, that is the ultimate question, and I've found no answer at all. But it probably has to do with conventions of dyeing wool. What I am doing when I refer constantly to navy uniforms as a model, mm-hmm, is try to answer the question, why did police departments pick it up? That's easily answered, because the police departments needed a uniform which already suggested authority. And the British Navy was right there as a model of authority, neatness, order, and so on. And so that color was naturally adopted. It's been very successful. Mm-hmm. And as I say in the book, there was one fellow in California, and I will add where else, who decided that the police shouldn't wear that uniform. They should come on in gray flannel trousers and blazers as if they were ordinary people, and that wouldn't scare the populace so much. And they tried that out, and they found it was a disaster. The police needed to exhibit things like revolvers or automatic pistols and nightsticks and little squirt vials of throw-up powder and things like that. And the people who were not in the police department insisted that they go back to that model. Hmm. And now success was restored.
Do you think members of the Ku Klux Klan know what a bunch of jerks they look like under those sheets?
I don't think so at all. If they did, the whole organization would collapse. No, they're really proud of that, although they mess up the whole thing by wearing masks. I mean, if you're going to solicit the admiration of your audience, you've got to be able to see their delight and pride in looking at your uniform.
Is there a better uniform in history than the red serge tunic of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police?
There's one better one, I think, at all.
Well, but let me get you to talk about what makes the Mounted uniform so great, first off.
I think that it dares to be colorful. It dares to be beautiful. It has nothing to do with skulking or being in camouflage so people won't see you. Mm-hmm. The point of it is to make people see you. And if they see you standing there or running or something, they will drop whatever nefarious, unlawful behavior they've engaged in. And they will have learned a lesson just by looking at you.
You were going to mention another uniform that you find great.
The uniform called tenue de ville, which is the standard Catholic priest's uniform when out on the street. Black suit, nothing out of the ordinary except the so-called Roman collar, the white collar. That, I think, in its restraint and its significance, is, I think, a perfect uniform for the purpose of asserting the dignity of the operation.
And finally, this, Professor, do a lot of us go around wearing one way or another, two or three uniforms a week of one kind or another? I'm thinking I wear one uniform during the day of a kind, which in my case involves shirt, tie, jacket, French cuffs, all that sort of stuff. I wear another one on days in which I'm not doing this job, which involve blue jeans or khakis. I wear a third one when I work out.
Okay, well, you're lucky. You know what you're doing, and you're conscious of it. And most people, I think, and I'm using myself as an example, tend to wear the same uniform day in and day out because it saves so much time. Mm-hmm. If you always wear the same thing, by the end of the year, you've saved enough time to read several good books. And otherwise, you're just wasting it for no reason at all.
Professor, thank you very much.
Not at all. A pleasure.
Paul Fussell, his new book is Uniforms, Why We Are, What We Wear.